This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Puts it away, and that'll do it for the final home game of the year here at Minute Maid Park. 8-1, the final for the Seattle Mariners today as they score 8 runs in the last 4 innings to win this one.
All right, and that's how it went down, a little day baseball. We are live here, having a good time here in Edo. Come to the Pitch 25. Come hang out with us. Coming up a little bit later on in this hour, your chance to win a $50 gift card to Specs. So if you want to do that, come in and put your name in that raffle box. But we've had a good time. We'll be here till 6 o'clock hanging out, and a lot going on here. So come and enjoy. A lot of people starting to come in after the Astros game, so it's a good crowd out here as well. But the Astros, as you heard there, they lose. They lose 8-1, and honestly, clearly, they weren't putting their best foot forward and trying to win. Hell, nobody was really in the game in terms of the starters.
No Altuve, no Tucker, no Alvarez from jumping, and Bregman came out early.
He came out in the second inning, and then that's when the game really got interesting, to be honest, which is Shea Whitcomb. He came in, and he committed 4 errors. Four errors there, and he couldn't stop. Alex Bregman said Shea is going to be fine, Tyler, so go ahead and listen to one of your leaders.
Yeah, okay.
Struggle for him. And it's like he just couldn't stop doing it.
I'm sure
led to
in the stands.
A lot of the runs, including Kikuchi, who gave up 2 runs, but they weren't unearned after the error by Shea. But he goes 6 innings, Clint. No runs earned, 8 strikeouts and 1 walk. Could possibly or should be his last start of the year until the postseason. But listen, man, there's just 3 more of these games where they're going to be like spring training games, to be honest with you, as they get themselves together. But that's where I want to go with you. If you're Joe Espada, and those of you out there listening, you can go ahead and chime in and give your thoughts as well, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. Are you all right? How would you handle this thing if you're Joe Espada? 3 games left. You already know where your seating's going to be, and you want to get some guys some rest. But how would you handle getting prepared for the postseason with 3 meaningless games?
To me, it's for the most part. Now, I'm not going to get extreme here, but for the most part, it's business as usual, right? Definitely for Spencer Arrigetti and definitely for Ronel Blanco. I believe those are the 2 next up, right? And maybe even Verlander again.
And Verlander should get.
Like business as usual with those guys right there. Now, for your position players, your everyday players, I don't know how any of these guys, with the exception of Alvarez and Chaz McCormick, obviously not an everyday player, but those 2 guys who they've already announced aren't going to Cleveland, right? So those 2 guys clearly aren't going to get any more at bats. But I don't know if you're Bregman, how comfortable are you going, nah, I'm good for the next week until we start until we start postseason play, and all of a sudden you jump in the box. Because I look up and I go, what if the Mariners – somehow get in and make that run, and that's who the Astros are up against with that starting pitching rotation. I mean, that, and you hadn't seen a live pitch in a freaking week, right? Or roughly, whatever it is.
Or at least in that intensity.
Right. Yeah. So I just think maybe it's a case by case basis, but ultimately, I don't see how the guys that are healthy, Altuve, Tucker, Bregman, Pena, the everyday guys. I don't know how those guys don't go. Yeah, I'll take a day. I'll take 2 days here, but I got to get me some at bats before we crank up this wild card.
Or at least two or three at bats, like spring training.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
like maybe
something.
5 innings as they head to Cleveland, because Cleveland's in the same boat. Or, well, actually, Cleveland's probably going to be playing because they got a chance still at the one seed.
Yeah,
so they're going to be trying to be playing. But yeah, like if the scenario of, hey, we've been sitting and chilling back here, knowing what we're doing, we're playing at a different level of intensity, and then we got to face a team. They've been in the playoffs for the past 2 weeks.
They've been in a dogfight.
They've been fighting. They've had to win every one of these games. Every one of these games they've been playing at a playoff level, and they're already at that intensity level, and you got to try to find your way to get that or a couple of more innings. So or a couple of innings before you get that. So I'm with you on that. It's a slippery thing. I understand you want to get them rest. You don't want to just run them down on the ground. But you're like, hey, Altuve and Tucker and Bregman, you're going to get two at-bats in this game.
Yep.
Use the DH, you know, as those guys can get at-bats rolling in. So,
Ron, I know Altuve didn't play, but boy, that Altuve right there is in a good place right now, isn't he?
Is he?
He ain't quit smiling since he walked in the door, man.
Got him a nice drink.
Went to the Astros game with the fellas, man.
Had him a good time. Why not, man?
Oh, man.
Why not have that?
Oh, hey, look out now. You get you in trouble.
There you go. Somebody, I'm
come
sure
on through here, man. Pitch 25.
Why not? I'm sure he, in Ito here, I'm sure he wished that he got a chance to see Yordan Alvarez. Well, Joe Espada, prior to the game, gave his latest update on his star player, Yordan Alvarez.
He was just kind of waiting for the inflammation to go down, but he's definitely walking better today. But the baseball activities were still on hold on those things.
He's talked so much about the swelling being seemingly the biggest problem. Mm-hmm. Has it subsided any since?
I think so. You know, my conversation with him sounded like it was better. And the size of the area, it's not as inflamed as it was yesterday. These changes day to day, and we'll see how he feels this afternoon. But we're going to keep him here. We don't want to get him on the plane and, get him 30,000 feet up in the air and that thing swelled back up. So we're going to kind of keep him here with our great doctors and take care of him.
Well, there it is, man. When you hear that, they're not putting him on the plane because of fear that it could swell up, which, I would love to know the percentage of health he is. I would love to know, like, are we we're dealing with 75%? You know, how quickly is these next 3 to 5 days going to be enough for whenever it is that the AL wild card round starts, when they'll have to host one of these teams? What kind of percentage? Where is he going to be? That there, the thought of he's not traveling because it's not traveling because hey man, we just wanted to meet with the doctors here. He's not traveling because we don't want that swelling to continue to be an issue.
I mean, thinking about it, there's really no reason to take a chance. He was on the field last night celebrating after they won that game. That all joking aside, that tells me a lot. Like, if they were overly concerned about the swelling and the knee, and it would have been, hey man, lay your ass down. Let's elevate that thing. When it's not elevated, let's ice it. Let's work whatever we need to do. That he wouldn't be out there enjoying a 30, 45-minute moment on the field for a team that's won 7 of the last 8 division titles. So, all joking aside, like, to me, that made me very comfortable with what the hell's going on.
Well, let's hope so. He is, to me, the best hitter in baseball. And not just that clutch, too, and you want to see him on the biggest stage. So, that's the latest there. Chaz McCormick as well. He is not going to make the flight, but he is doing better, according to the captain, Tyler Joe Espada.
5 o'clock fire.
You got emotional thinking about the captain. I understand that.
It was just the phrasing. I wasn't sure if you were wrapping that up with Espada and letting us know what he said, or you wanted the audio. You told me you probably weren't calling for it.
Yeah, I just thought maybe you got emotional thinking about your captain. Your guy.
I do think that is a ridiculous name for Mr. Joe Espada.
He's
not the captain.
CJ right there, Captain Joe.
Neither is Jeter's punk ass.
Okay. God, have you believed that it's been 10 years since he played his last game?
I saw your tweet. That's
Derek
nuts.
Jeter, 10 years. Insane. All right. Get back to it here. the Texans, they got back on the practice field, and this will be important. Tomorrow will be big. as we're at Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball, we'll be seeing this. The guys that didn't practice today, the notable ones there, Clint, Joe Mixon with the ankle, Tank Dell with ribs, hand, and wrist, and then Damian Pierce. Now, Damian Pierce, the last one there, reports are that they feel like he's going to be able to go this week. They feel better about him being able to go. Tank Dell will see multiple injuries there, and then Joe Mixon. They're calling Joe Mixon and Tank Dell day-to-day right now. Let's look at Tank Dell first. You know, that's the big concern, Clint, right, is injuries. How will he be able to hold up? How will he be able to do things? They're running him a lot in the run game, and obviously want to try to get him more involved in the passing game. But there's a sense, Clint, that there could be an issue here, and if he doesn't play, this does completely make, at least on the perimeter, this offense look different.
It absolutely makes them look different. The gadget types of plays, it makes those look significantly different, because even if you substitute Robert Woods, if you substitute Xavier Hutchinson, if you substitute John Metchie, you're still not getting the level of explosiveness that you can get from Tank Dell. And so it definitely makes the roster look different, the offense look different, just depending on how they want to or we're planning on using him. Which, look, let's be honest, at this point in time, given how this season has gone, the least of my worries at this point is Tank Dell. But
but
the truth of the matter is, when this offense is humming, when we've seen this offense do its best work, Tank Dell was a big part of it. So it's tough to watch him go through this.
The injury report did just come out.
Yeah, I just saw that there. Yeah, those three did not practice. Fadakasi also didn't practice with a shoulder. So that's one to watch as well. He's been pretty good for them in the middle there. And then Kenyon Green with an illness. Hopefully that isn't something that is lingering. And then Dalton Schultz, who had the ankle, he was limited in practice. Jarrett Patterson coming off the calf issue, limited in practice. Jimmy Ward, groin, limited in practice. One thing to note, Juice Scruggs, who missed the Bears game, played last week. He does not have an injury designation or if he was limited in practice. So that is good.
That's big.
To see there that he is still available and good.
Well, what is, I mean, the Tank Dell thing is now a chest?
Oh, it said ribs.
It says
chest now.
It was hands, wrist, ribs, and now we got a chest on this thing.
Yeah, maybe the chest.
Damn,
yeah.
Tank, you all right?
Well, I mean, hey, man, you know, Tank gets hit, boy.
He's Whittle.
He's what?
He's Whittle. Exactly. Nailed it.
We'll be looking out tomorrow to see if these guys get back on the practice field. That'll tell a big sign if they play or not.
5 o'clock fire.
Add it up. All right. Yesterday we played this, and I want to play it again because Josh Allen made some comments that, boy, you think of a guy that has been in the media as much as he has and has done so many things as much as he has. To understand and know if he says something like he said, how that can be interpreted. This again yesterday, after they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, afterwards he was just talking about what the feels are of his team and offense this year.
Fun and wonderful thing when you had a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns. And again, I think throughout practice, we've just had this mindset of like, hey, let's just do things the right way and find ways to win football games. That's what we're doing right now.
This report out off after that, because I heard it and I thought, boy, that sound like old Steph Diggs. Josh Allen felt the need to come out and clarify this thing. He clarified this on the 2024 Buffalo Bills are not, his comments were not about Diggs, like what was talked about that gained a lot of traction on TV, social media.
On the drive,
as I was going to say there as well. I've loved everybody that I've played with. No, you haven't. And you don't have to tear other people down to build each other up. There is Josh Allen right there with his comments, clarifying his comments that were perceived to be about Stephon.
Crying ass shame that he even responded. I mean, it's because of all the fluff that got drawn up on social media, whatever. The truth of the matter is, whether it was Diggs or not, you know, if he lived in an environment over the last two or three years where guys were worried about it getting catches and touches and touchdowns and yada, 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 now they got a bunch of guys that, truth be told, none of the guys are established enough that he's throwing the football to even shape their mouth to say that they want this many catches or that many yards or yada, yada, yada. The reality of it is the environment, I'm sure, is totally different than having a bunch of established guys that expect a certain number of targets versus a bunch of guys that don't even know exactly what role they're going to play. And so I just choose to believe that Josh was speaking directly about something that he went through over the last – something that was a real – that was a truth, his truth.
Oh, I think
is
it was.
It's easier living in an environment where we're not worried about that kind of thing. I don't think there's any doubt that the environment in – Buffalo, whether it was Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, or Ken Dorsey and his approach to offensive football, there's no doubt that the vibe in Buffalo was be aggressive, get these guys touches, and I'm sure there were times where there was a lot of bitching and moaning about not getting touches and expecting more. And now he's got the total opposite. If that happens to include Stephon Diggs, who was in Buffalo at the time, so be it. It's a crying shame that he should have never responded.
All right,
on. When you respond to this kind of stuff, you give it validity. You should have never responded.
Come on out to Pitch 25 here in Edo after this next segment. So you got about 20 minutes. After this next segment, we will be hooking somebody up with our final prize of a $50 gift card to Specs. So stay tuned for that. And listen, we've got to answer the question that needs answering and that needs fixing and then needs fixing soon with the Houston Texans. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Pitch 25, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, as we are live here at the Pitch 25 in Edo. Really, really fun spot here. Always love coming here. Tyler Miller, the first one to show me this place here and has brought me here multiple times. Come up here, a little soccer action if you want to. Great place for pre and post right now, Clint. They're in the middle of happy hour. Their happy hour runs till 6 o'clock. So right now, if you want to get in here, I've seen a lot of people taking advantage of this happy hour. You can do so right now. Like I said, great spot as people are. Yeah, I bet Sliding fell up in here a couple of times with a Kango.
Yeah, he's probably had a few events up here, man.
Probably has. But no, great spot. Post game here, pre or post for the Astros, is a lot of people are coming in here for a little post game action. Texans watch parties they have here. Great wings, I can attest. I got the dry rub, delicious burgers, loaded fries. I saw some of our guys here on the team had some loaded fries. He sent one of them sent it back because of the coleslaw, but they had a. It looked good. It was tasty. It was delicious. So the food is amazing here. Good stuff. No, man, I did. I put you right on Front Street, man. Made the people take it back on that coleslaw. He said, I don't like coleslaw. He did tell them, though. He did tell them, and they accidentally put it on. So that's right. That works.
I mean,
that's
usually when you cut something, they put it on there anyway. I mean, that's usually a take back and remove kind of scenario.
Yeah. So get on out here, man. It's a good time to be had out here. All right, Clint, as we move into tomorrow, really it's kind of moving on, turning the page on the Vikings. And if you heard C.J. Stroud, who was live with us here earlier in the 3 o'clock hour, he's about tired of talking about the Vikings game. So I
would be too if I was him.
Tomorrow, you know, we more or less –
Hell, I'm tired of talking about it. I didn't even take a snap.
You didn't take a snap. More or less pushing and getting ready right to the Jags, as they'll play them on Sunday. But this is kind of looking back and moving forward, Clint. What the hell's going on with this passing game? And when you sit here and look at it, and when I say this, yes, they're not Caleb Williams and the Bears, right? Like they're not in that situation where it doesn't seem like they can do much of anything at times. But this is nowhere near the fireworks show that I think a lot of us thought when they're talking about, man, we got a five-headed monster. Because, Clint, I can tell you, like, I just sit here and look at it, Clint. I would say Dalton Schultz is not involved to the level that he may think he should be. None of the tight ends, to be honest with you. I would say Tank Dell is not involved. Tank Dell, up here talking about what did he say, 1,300 yards or something like that? He want to have 10 touchdowns? He ain't nowhere near to that level at the start of the season. I'd say that Stephon Diggs, who had, you know, I think there was some garbage time stuff in there, but he had his best game. But I would wonder, is he doing during you know, the big focus of the game when it's in doubt, is he as involved as he wants to and thought he should be? The passing game in general, from top to bottom, just Clint, hasn't been anywhere close to what we thought it would be.
Yeah, it hadn't, and it's alarming. It's not just a matter of not being in sync, which you hear that coming from the guys. It's not. You've played two really good defenses, and those are the kind of defenses that we should be measuring the Texans against if we're going to talk about Super Bowl-caliber football teams, and you stunk the place up. And so, look, I think it's a combination of two things. I think you've got a team that the entire focus for all of training camp was, we're going to be more explosive weapons and all this. Now we're going to be more explosive. We're going to throw the football down the field. We're going to stretch the field. That was the next step for this offense, right? And that has it's very apparent that that's how C.J. Stroud is wired right now as a quarterback, is to try to take those shots. Now, that could be the play calling. It could be his mindset. Either way, they need to move on from it, right? They need to get back to what they were doing last year. So I think the approach by the Texans, number one, is a problem. And I think it's a problem. We talked about it in the offseason, really in OTAs and stuff, after C.J. Stroud said it. I told you that this season is going to boil down to C.J. Stroud's ability to juggle being aggressive and being boring, what he was last year. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully. That's what he hit by his own words. Like, how does he juggle that? In my opinion, they have been heavy trying to be aggressive.
He's holding,
and trying
you said
to be
earlier,
explosive.
He's holding the ball
right
a lot longer to try to get let those longer developing routes
right
to open up.
100%. And when you do that, it puts a lot of strain on the offensive line. Right? Who did I constantly talk about, compare C.J. Stroud to? Stylistically, who was he playing the game
like? Brady and Burrow.
Tom Brady. I saw, and this was not about C.J. Stroud, but there's a tweet that I retweeted earlier in the day. Brandon Thorne, who is an NFL offensive line kind of guru, right? He was responding to somebody talking about Brady. He said, no QB I've ever seen elevated the offensive line more than Tom Brady did. That's exactly what C.J. Stroud did last year.
Him and Bobby.
Correct. This year, what you're doing is now you're doing the Joe Burrow stuff. Now you're doing the hold on to the ball, get your ass hit all the time, you're constantly flush from the pocket, and now your O-line all of a sudden sucks. I'm not saying that it's C.J. Stroud is why it's all happening. It's an overall approach to the offensive football. But when it's all said and done, they've got to get back to clean the slate, shelve everything you've talked about in camp and all that. Doesn't mean the work was worthless. Put it all on the shelf and go back to your line of thinking last year, from about week 3 to about week 14 or 15, really from week 3 on, right, to where it was, hey, we don't have all of our offensive linemen, so we got to get this ball out. We got to protect these guys. Let's create and design and call plays to get the football out. Then all of a sudden it was, hey, we don't have any receivers except for Nico Collins. Right, we got to move him around and not let the defense get a beat on where he's at. And all of a sudden, Nico Collins went up there and was on pace to go for 1,500 yards in a season. Right, and so to me, it's first and foremost what the Texans can control is they've got to get back to designing, calling, and the quarterback having the mindset of getting the football
out. That's the thing that jumps out to me watching them is, man, like it seems hard.
And last year, everything was effortless.
Yeah, it seems so much more, like, difficult. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. There were even some moments in the last game against the Vikings where they stepped back and CJ hit his back foot and bam, he hit.
Sure.
You know, he hit some plays. But for the most part, it feels like they got to roll out. He's got to roll out. It's got to be on the run. He's got to run to the sideline to buy time. And then Nico comes across the middle, nothing is happening within the flow of the offense.
Let's talk about Nico for a minute. He's really been the highlight of the season so far, right? Yep. You look at Nico and think about how he's produced. There have been two balls that have been thrown back across the grain, which were ill-advised when Brett Favre was doing it. It damn sure you don't want CJ to make a living doing it. There's an unbelievable 18, 19-yard catch on the sideline where he one-handed a damn ball and somehow got a knee down. There's a 40-yard plus yard completion on a post where he threw it into double coverage.
The one day the Colts game on the sideline.
Right. The speed cut out route in the Colts game that ended the game. Like, it's all been like, hey, man, let's go play backyard ball. And that's fine. I like guys to have that ability. But me personally, I don't care if you're winning games. Like, that's not sustainable. Not at a Super Bowl level. It's sustainable when you're playing a last place schedule, and it's sustainable when you don't have any expectations whatsoever. Nobody expects you to win and be relevant. And it's cool if it's like all of a sudden you're jumping on the scene and you're going to the second round of the playoffs and nobody expected you to. But when you're established and you're playing a first place schedule and you're up against the other monsters in this league that are quarterbacks, it ain't gonna work.
And the crazy thing is, you saw it from the same system last week. Sam Darnold repeatedly, bam, hit everything, hit his back step, hit Jefferson, hit all kinds, hit Naylor, hit Jones. Like, it was, they were able to do it. It wasn't a lot of flushing out, and there was some pressure. It wasn't a lot of flushing out. Hell, he got hurt. So that's the thing there. We got to see that start to improve and to hit. Is the Texans passing game was supposed to be one of the most devastating things in all of, go ahead, let him have it, in all of the NFL, and we have not seen that whatsoever. All right, coming up as we continue, somebody is going to be the winner of our next $50 gift card.
She's going to do a little country dancing boy.
She wants to do a little bit more than that.
Ginger
we're
Nation,
about, we're
right
about
now.
To do it right now. Ginger,
right now.
Yeah, she's the one that lied that says she was Ray. All right, coming up, we've got to take a look at the guys at the top. The guys at the top with the Astros and everything they did. You ain't got to pull her back, man. The guys at the top and everything that the Astros did. Joe and Dana Brown and Jim Crane. They deserve some words from the drive. We'll do that coming up.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Pitch 25, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yes, it is, and we have had a good time. And listen, the bar is full. Go and order up. Hey, you got a little bit of time until happy hour. You got about 20 minutes. As happy hour ends at 6, last call for happy hour. Get on in there and get you a drink and tip your bartender. There's a lot of Astros fans coming in after the game, having a good time here. Clint's trying to figure out what the hell he's going to order, and I'm telling you, it's good, Clint. As we've had a good time, thanks to the great people here at Pitch 25 here in Edo. Thanks to the great people at Sagamore Whiskey, Rye Whiskey, as they've had signature drinks here, and it's been delicious. And I think somebody's about to win a bottle, too, Clint. This it's been a good time that's been had here. I also want to thank our promo staff who've worked very, very hard to keep us going here and worked very hard to help out our listeners and people here. Also, thank to our producer, Matt, who has kept us on the air, held us together, and done a great job to keep us rolling here. Tyler, as well, back at the station.
What's up, so Team Money?
That's right. So go get on and get down here and have a good time. Nick Caserio tonight, guys. Nick Caserio. We've heard from all the brass, really, in terms of D'Amico and C.J. Stroud. Nick Caserio, you'll be able to hear him tonight on Texans All Access. And also a really, really cool thing happening tonight ahead of Area 45 as Texans All Access will go until 8 o'clock. Our I'm Listening special. It's an event we do every year. It's something that's very, very powerful. I would urge you to take a listen to that 8 to 10 o'clock tonight. And then after that, Live and Local continues from 10 to midnight, Area 45. Our guys, Sean Pajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago, will hold it down Live and Local till midnight. So stay tuned for that as well. All right, Clint, I'm going to do this, and I'll let you take it how you want to take it, because you said you had it. You almost had your heartstrings tugged at a little bit after watching yesterday. I'm going to say congratulations to the Astros, and I'm telling you, I did not think that they were going to be able to pull this off. I had thrown in the towel, Clint and Tyler. You know I did. It was that Yankee series. It was over to me, and I did not believe. I questioned Joe Espada and if he knew exactly what he was doing, if the job was too big for him. I questioned Dana Brown, and I think fairly with both of them at those times. I questioned if the job was too big for him. I wondered, hey, Jim Crane, what are you doing? What is going on? But they've made all the right moves. They pushed the right buttons. They fought through adversity. And listen, with all that questioning, I apologize to those guys. Congratulations to them. I was wrong. You was right. I'm still good looking, but I apologize.
You're the best. I'm the worst.
To you guys, shout out to Chubbs. I apologize to you. It was it's been an amazing, remarkable turnaround. 7-19, 10 games behind the Mariners, and that evaporated like that by the All-Star break. You remember Dana was saying we want to get to within, you know, 5 or 6 by the All-Star break. Hell, they had the lead, I think. Damn near by the All-Star break. So amazing performance by the team and that brass. And they pushed all the right buttons down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, they did obviously.
Come on, man. Do it today.
I'm not doing it.
Say, Joe, Joe.
Look, Joe did a tremendous job. Joe, it turned out that. Hell, I was Joe's biggest fan, and who should get the damn job?
You love Joe. You
it, it turned out that Joe did and was capable of doing exactly what I hoped he would do. Now, unfortunately, in the process, I lost faith in Joe Espada, and where you see things
completely
as
lost faith.
You see things as pushing buttons. I don't like. There's nothing in this. The comeback or who played when and where. I don't see a whole lot of button pushing.
Well, Dana pushed the buttons, Kikuchi.
We're talking about all of them. It was a no-brainer to pitch Kikuchi. I mean, he was forced into pitching Arrighetti and hell, anybody that had a damn right arm at one point in time. And those guys pitched well. Some of those
Clint,
guys pitched well.
He is switching lineups like Tyler switches draws.
Barry Switzer.
He's pushing buttons.
Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl.
He puts a button.
Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. I mean, pushing no buttons. I mean, you ought to be going like, how in the world did Diaz ever bat ninth?
We'll get all this little.
Like,
funk.
It's not a positive.
He's filling
thing.
It out. He was filling
yeah,
it
he's
out.
Feeling it out. Yeah, I mean, it's like there's no rhyme
he,
or.
He got
no,
better as the year went on.
There's no rhyme or reason why the lineup shifted the way it did ever.
Now, Diaz ain't bat ninth in a long time. You know that was a low blow.
I'm just telling you, it should have never happened. I mean, I just can't lean into all that. He did a tremendous job. He pulled at my heartstrings last night a little bit with the emotional post-game conversation with Julia Morales. I loved it. It was tremendous. I'll be honest with you. I'm fine with Joe Espada as the Astros manager.
Well, you know what Jake Myers don't him? Gotcha.
What's that?
Jake
I screwed
Myers
up.
He's fine.
No. It ended up working out, and the strengths that he brings to the table in terms of being familiar with this team and having confidence in this team, even though the wheels were coming off. It was a good match. I'm fine with it. If the job were to come open tomorrow, I wouldn't worry about the Astros.
Text line coming in. The playoffs fell into Joe's lap because we got a damn good ball club. He isn't the reason, Irwin. Irwin, I just think it's just completely unfair.
I love you, Irwin, but why?
I don't
disagree with you.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker, your best player the last 2 years, missed 3 months of the season right in the middle of it.
Joe have to do with that?
Right, I'm just saying they overcame this. I mean, they overcame him. Verlander. Yeah. They had injuries.
Yeah,
They had injuries to a really good
organization that has championship DNA, that has veterans that people don't flinch. He was part of it. I'm not saying he wasn't. But, like, what does Kyle Tucker getting injured in right field have to do with Joe Espada?
Well, he's got to manage, like, how he replaces Tucker and what he's got to do with the lineup when Tucker would normally be in there.
Right. So you think he strategically picked Gamble while he was hot, and then whoever else played out there while he was hot, and then who by the way, they
I mean,
were
it's his job.
Somebody's got to do it. Yeah, you're right. Somebody's got
to
do it.
I just don't know. Like, to me, to just say the credit goes to because they're a good ball club.
No, it's not about something
he held that group together that was falling apart.
Holding a group together, but like
I wouldn't lean
overcoming
in.
Kyle Tucker's like deciding who his replacement was. There was no deciding.
Just the team overcame injuries and poor play.
You are correct.
And the manager has
correct.
To get some kind of.
Well, I know. I just gave him some. Him knowing the team, them knowing him, played out that it worked out in their favor, but to think that the manager is why a team that has won been to seven straight ALCSs is why they're in the playoffs again and why they bounce back from what they bounce back from is, to me, okay.
I think every year's different though. It's hard for me to group that. All seven like together like that. Like I hear what you're saying, Clint. I'm not, you know, whatever, but it's so different. Like this team that just won the West is so different than like say 2019.
Words that Irwin had to say, like that was the bull crap that was tossed around about Dusty last year. Oh, he just fell into a team, even though there's injuries all over the place.
Well,
and things that they had to overcome. Joe improved big time. Like the Joe that we saw at the start, I would have never thought.
What did he improve? What specifically did he improve?
I think he got more confident and better with his decision making. I think he got a better handle on the players that he was going to use and how he was going to use them as he flipped the lineup a ton. And then he was forced to have to do it more because there were injuries throughout. And I think he got and improved in terms of being able to handle his team and being able to be a guy that they felt comfortable and trust to get them through adverse times. So, yes, I don't know a coach or a manager that won't get credit when his ace and his best player go down in the season. Like, I don't know who does it. I don't know who just – who was like, what did he do? What do you mean,
what did he do? I mean, there's nothing wrong. It's like not acknowledging that Dusty inherited an all-time great franchise is crazy.
Boy, I'm not acknowledging
like
it.
Like to,
you go out there and you look, and he didn't have a bunch of pieces every year, and they still were able to do it. Just like Joe Espada didn't have a bunch of pieces this year and just in his first year.
Like, I know it's easy to just rattle off, like, this manager, what the Astros went through. What decision?
Like Clint,
give me one decision that Joe Espada said.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I don't want to give you a decision.
Because you can't.
No, honest to God, if you look at this and you say, what did the manager do after you watch this team every day and you know all the guys and all the stuff they had to deal with.
Yes.
There's no conversation. You know how you say, let's go get a beer? Like, to me, if I got to explain to you no Kyle Tucker, no
help.
Justin Verlander,
I need
no injuries throughout the team to major parts, Bregman starting slow, then be it. If I've got
overcame that. But with like Bregman getting hurt, what did Joe Espada have to do?
He had to hold that together.
Hold it together. What kind of answer?
What do you mean? What kind of answer? What does
he
a coach
had to
do?
Hold it together.
He did. He had to hold that together with all of those people going down. Yes,
I mean,
that is important part. of managing and coaching.
That's as vague an answer as you can throw.
D'Amico has to hold this together right now while they're going through this adversity.
No, D'Amico has to call defensive plays. D'Amico has to draft players. D'Amico has to dial up defenses on the regular 60, 70 plays a game. Like, it's not Kyle Tucker getting injured and the coach deciding the other part of D'Amico's job.
You know this, the other part of a coach's job is they have to hold their locker room.
That's like
together.
if Will Anderson gets hurt and Barnett goes and plays, going, good job, D'Amico. Yes, Barnett played. Come on, man.
To me, if CJ Stroud got hurt and Will Anderson got hurt, you don't think that people would look and say, what a coaching job that D'Amico's done? Come on, man, get out of here. You know this.
No, if they still won, if they won, if they won beyond that, yes.
No one would say, well, what did D'Amico do? He didn't have his starting quarterback or his best player on the.
You wouldn't point to Davis Mills.
Oh, you would say that, you know, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Tyler, thanks for all you've done. This one's going to take. What would
get
they say to
here.
I like that voice.
Get out
I
of
felt
here.
That one all the way back in the
say,
station.
You can say Joe Espada did a good job without needing to apologize. Get the hell out of here.
You don't have to. I will, but
get
you don't have to apologize. You're just saying you're doing it.
Update.
All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as Nick Caserio will be on there. You can hear him live with the fellas and our great I'm Listening special coming up behind them, and then Area 45 is next. Thanks to everybody here at Pitch 25 here in Edo. We had a great time. We'll be in Tomball tomorrow.
Where are we at?
Buffalo Wild Wings. So come hang out with the same spot we was last week, and you can win a lot of prizes there as well. Clint, great job until the end. Tyler, great job as well. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Send him to that Florida-ass Abreu League, man. No, I don't need to watch this trash as October's getting here.
Tyler, put him right back out there, my ass. This is your intensity, Tyler. Tyler, right now, Tyler is like...
Dude, errors have been a problem for this squad. I'm tired of watching Little League baseball out on the diamond in 2024. Get Shay's ass out of there.
He's like a fighter that's getting close to to the fight.
I'm getting all hyped up.
Like he's like, you know how you know they're in bad moods. They're moody as the closer and closer they get to the fight. Shay, hey man, we're with you. All right, coming up.
Let's, I ain't with you, Shay. Scrub ass.
Damn man, you might need him. All right, coming up. And I know it's gonna be.